Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Jerry Dulac now joins us from Pittsburgh. My good friend, happy holidays to you and that great family of yours.
Steve, thank you. Same to you. It's always a treat, as you know, to be on with you. I was looking forward to it. I hope all is well.
All is going great. So let's get to it. The Steelers, courtesy of the NFC South, where they're 3-0, have now built themselves to 5-7. So we'll start with the quarterback. Jerry, you've looked at one of the best in Ben Roethlisberger for years, so I'm not going to compare this kid to him in any way, shape, or form. He's got to do his own deal. In doing his own deal, are you seeing a better product every week?
Yeah, you're seeing a better product and a better quarterback. And I think the biggest thing that he has done, if not learned, because let's face it, the learning curve is still going. It's going to go into year two and year three, and there'll be a big difference between year one and year two when the game slows down for Kenny Pickett in terms of progressions and everything else, and just from a comfort factor. But the biggest thing that you have seen is him wanting to protect the ball and, more importantly, doing it. It's what he said coming out of the bye. You know, he threw 7 interceptions and just 2 touchdowns in his 5 games. You know, costly interceptions at the end against Miami and the New York Jets. It cost them the game. He hasn't thrown a pick in his last 128 attempts, and he's thrown just 1 pick in his last 165, I think it is. But since the bye, no interceptions. You see his passer rating in these 4 games. It's 3 of the 4 highest passer ratings he's had all year. And the offense, because of the running game, has just benefited. You know, they're still shy of points. They're 30th in the league in scoring, or 29th. Third from the bottom in the AFC behind Houston and Denver. And their inability to score touchdowns has been a big problem, especially throwing the ball. They only have 8 touchdown passes, which is the fewest in the NFL. But what you are seeing from Kenny Pickett, Steve, is what the Steelers want, and that is they don't necessarily want him to win the game. They, more importantly, don't want him to lose it. And that's what he's been doing. And since the bye and since he has not thrown an interception, they are 3-1. Look, the way they are built, they're going to be in one-score games. They seem to be that way their entire life. But it's more so when you don't score a lot of points. You know your defense has to keep it close. And, you know, little things like a turnover or an interception, whichever it is, whether a fumble or a pick, those are determining factors, and they've stayed away from that. He has stayed away from that, and I think it's made a big difference. I think it's why they're 3-1.
It also seems like, in conjunction with the offensive line, they're running the ball a bit better. Is that fair?
Oh, without question. You know, these past 4 games, Steve, it's the most they've averaged. I think it's like 157.8. That's their highest 4-game total since the first 4 games of Mike Tomlin's rookie year that go back to 2007. You know, their per-game average, I want to say, is 117. That's their highest since 2011. So there's no question they are running the ball better. Most of the league is running the ball better and more frequently, and they are right in line with that. But, you know, their offensive line has been a surprise to many who saw it in the preseason and thought, wow, you know, they brought in 2 guys, they re-signed Chukwuemeka for, and there was no evidence that those were good moves. But you know what, Steve? They've started the same 5 every game. And when you have that continuity, that really helps, especially when you have some new guys. And they've been much, much improved from what we saw in the preseason. And I think that's the biggest reason. I think you see Najee Harris now, you know, he's looked the best he has in these last 3 or 4 games, and you see him running with a purpose. And I think that's the confidence in knowing there's some holes there and there's some movement there. You see the difference in him. People ask, what's the difference? Why does he look so good all of a sudden? Well, I think that's a big reason for it. And I you can't give enough credit to me to this offensive line, the way they've performed and how far they have come.
Jerry, you and I both know that T.J. Watt has been not just hurt, he's been injured. That's why he was out for a period of time. Does he look at the moment like the T.J. Watt you expect? And what kind of battle is it out there for right now? Because it doesn't even look like teams are even doubling him right now.
Yeah, he's still getting some of the T.J. Watt treatment, but what I've noticed is too many right tackles are, I'm not going to say handling him one-on-one, but doing a very good job against him one-on-one. I don't think there's any question, Steve, he's not the normal T.J. Watt. You know, he wears a protective brace for across his chest for the torn pec. You know, he hurt his knee, which kept him on. He had a procedure which kept him on IR a little bit longer, and now he has either bruised or cracked ribs, which you saw him take himself out of the game the other day when he dove to make a tackle. I mean, he's playing. When Mike Tomlin said, you know, he's playing, he's getting beat up out there, he is. And yet T.J. Watt is T.J. Watt, and that's what he does. He just keeps battling, and you can't sit him down. And so, yeah, he's not the same player. He only has half a sack in the four games since he's come back. The other day he had a flat line. I think he has like two quarterback hits. My God, Steve, he has that a lot of times in one series, let alone four games.
Yeah,
and so he's just not the same player. And yet you see teams, you know, realizing, look, it's T.J. Watt, and they're going to give him his proper attention. But I think you're seeing a little bit more of right tackles handling him, blocking him one-on-one. But he is still getting some of the attention, just not to the degree, I don't think, that that he did before. And I can't quantify which is bothering him more, whether it's the ribs or his knee, because he just doesn't seem to have that explosive push-off. You know, he's always been a hand fighter. You see him doing that.
Yeah.
But whatever it is, you know, teams have to account for him. There's no question. But he's not the same disruptive player he typically has been because of all the injuries he has.
Jerry, you brought up something in a previous answer I want to explore a little bit more. You said teams across the league, for the most part, are running the football better. Is this a product in part because we're seeing so many too high safety looks out there, cover two, because everybody's trying to stop big plays? They're trying to make you play underneath. Is this most offenses in the league reacting to that, saying, okay, if you're going to do that, we're going to run the ball more?
I don't think there's any question, Steve. I'm not going to sit there and say that's the sole reason, but that's one of them. Whatever it is you're seeing in this league, you're seeing defenses now starting to take control. It used to be, you know, you see a lot of points being scored. That's been a rarity for the most part. And defenses have picked up on how to, you know, on defending the passing games. Not everyone and not all the time, but you're seeing it more and more each week. Look at how many games where the winning team scores fewer than 20 points. It's just been amazing. Of course, the Steelers are one of them, but it's not just the Steelers in Houston and Denver. It's a lot of teams who just at Baltimore. Their last three games, they're 8-4, and they've just struggled against Carolina, Jacksonville, and Denver, three of the bottom teams in the league, and yet they're a division champ. And you see what's going on in that NFC South, as you referenced earlier. Tampa Bay could barely score points, and they scored a field goal the other day. They had a field goal till the final 3 minutes or 5 minutes, and they put up two touchdowns. It's been that way all year for them and Tom Brady. So, yeah, I think that's a big reason for it. You know, Steve, I was counting today. I think there's 27 teams who average over 100 yards rushing. That's the most. Now, look, I couldn't go back and count decade after decade, but that's the most in the last 10 years. And there's 7 teams averaging more than 145 yards a game, and the Steelers are one of them.
Yep.
The Steelers are not one of them, but I'll get to the Steelers in a minute. But there's 7 teams averaging more than 145 yards. 5 years ago, there was one. And so I think it just points up how teams are relying more on the run to combat the way teams are defending them against the pass.
Right. No, that's a great point, because that's what we're seeing more and more along the way. Teams are running the football this year, and I think it's a reaction to everything that you talked about. Now, the Ravens have to play this game in all likelihood with their backup, Huntley, who's not bad. But,
right.
Jerry, you've seen it. the Ravens want to play a certain way. So how dramatically different are they when it's not Jackson, even though Huntley is, I would consider him to be a very good NFL backup, but how different are they stylistically?
Well, I don't think from a style standpoint they're going to change a whole lot. It's just that Huntley isn't as dangerous as Lamar Jackson. To me, Lamar Jackson is the most unstoppable player in the league, Steve. But I will say this. The Steelers have done a good job against him, and when he's played against him, you know, he's missed three games, and this is now going to be four games that he's missed against the Steelers since he's become the starter, and he's 2-3 in the other games, and he's just had modest success. He's really never hurt them. So, you know, when they face him twice a year, and so much of what they do in the offseason is built to beat the Ravens, and in that regard, it's built to stop or control, not going to stop them, but to contain and control Lamar Jackson, and they've done a good job of that. So I don't want to say not having him isn't going to make a big difference, because he hasn't hurt them in the past. But right. I think they're going to be prepared for the same attack. It's just that, look, Huntley, he's just not Lamar Jackson, and what he can do with his feet. And to me, no quarterback in the league. You can make an argument for Justin Fields if you want, but I just think Lamar Jackson is a special player, and the fact that they've never surrounded him in the draft with the types of receivers that he needs to make him even more dangerous, it's just baffling to me. They can't continue to rely on him with some running backs and a tight end, because at the end of the day, teams take that away, and then he has, you know, he doesn't have many options besides his tight end.
To amplify Jerry's point about the ability of familiarity, when the Giants beat the Ravens, it was the first time Lamar Jackson had lost to an NFC team. He had been 12-0, because they never see this type. And the Steelers see it all the time, so they know how to react to it. And that's exactly what the point you're making there, Jerry.
Yeah, and I think to take that point one step further, Steve, I think that's why the Ravens, beyond just Lamar Jackson, why they have success against NFC teams. Because, you know, they don't see that type of intensity from a team in the NFC. They just don't.
Right.
The Ravens play at a whole nother level. And Mike Tomlin he kind of referenced that yesterday, and he said, you have to be prepared for it because you can't warm up to it. And so when NFC teams, you know, when they go up against the Ravens, you know, they're not familiar with the way they play and the intensity with which they play. And, of course, the Steelers are. And, you know, the Ravens for years have tried to match the Steelers' intensity, and the Steelers try to match the Ravens' intensity because they know what it's like.
I mentioned Watt. And so the last question I'm going to give you is about Minka Fitzpatrick. Coming off the appendectomy, he was able to get himself back in the lineup relatively quick, in part because I think it was a scope, which helps. So what difference has he made? Because he obviously had the big pick at the end of the game against the Falcons.
You know, Steve, Minka Fitzpatrick is Minka Fitzpatrick. I mean, he's a playmaker back there. He's an all-pro for a reason. He's a big play guy. You know, he changed the season opener in Cincinnati right off the bat with a pick six on the opening series. He's the guy who's capable of doing that, and believe me, the other teams know it. Now, there have been two instances this year where Minka did not make Minka types of plays, which is in Buffalo when Gabe Davis wrested the ball away from him in the end zone, which you just don't see, and another time in Philadelphia where he had the interception just waiting for it, and A.J. Brown slipped between him and another guy and made the catch when Minka, he just misplayed the ball. You just don't see him do that. Those are rarities for Minka Fitzpatrick. Otherwise, whether it's against the run, he's a sure tackler, whether it's tracking the ball, closing on a receiver. He's a big-time player. Somebody asked me a question today in the chat about story in Sports Illustrated is what the question was, and I don't know. Did I see the story where T.J. Watt and Minka Fitzpatrick are overrated? And I said, I did not, and I said, that's a bunch of garbage. I said, because that's ridiculous to think that those guys are overrated. There's 31 teams in the National Football League that would die to have either one of those players, those guys on their defense. And Minka Fitzpatrick impacts the defense in a whole other way than T.J. Watt, and that's by taking the ball away and making plays.
Usually those questions come from those involved in fantasy leagues.
Right.
Jerry, always, and I mean always, a pleasure, my friend. So great to hear you. Appreciate you so much.
Well, Steve, I'm excited about the Rose Bowl. My daughter already wants to go. Unfortunately, yeah. I still have a couple games left with the Steelers, including one on New Year's Day in Baltimore. So I won't be able to do it, but I'm excited for them. I'm glad to see it.
Yeah, no, it's you know what? You couldn't, in a, this season, I think it's the best landing spot they could have asked for.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And you know as well as I know, they had Ohio State and Michigan in the fourth quarter, and they let both of them get away. About now, I'd like to take one of those, but oh well, that's the way it goes.
So would I.
I bet you would.
In that spot. So would I.
Give my best to Hammer when you see him next.
I will. In fact, I'm going to call Hammer tomorrow. So looking forward to it.
All right, man. Always good talking to you, Steve. And if I don't speak to you, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you, my friend, and your beautiful family. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve. See you, man.